Welcome to the Equigiving Circle podcast, The Sharing Culture, the show that talks about sharing, who does it, why, and the history, and a whole lot in between. Each episode is a stewarded conversation by one of our team members and another community organizer or community member. We hope that you enjoy these conversations about sharing and are inspired to lean in and explore your own relationship with sharing and are called to stretch and build deeper alongside of us. We look forward to sharing with you.
Okay, welcome, welcome to The Sharing Culture, a podcast all about sharing. And today we are talking with Mr. James Lovely.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. James, how old are you now?
I'm 8 years old and I'm about to be 9 in 2 days.
2 days! Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Wow, it's really special that we get to talk to our youth, our future. James is a brilliant young person, and I will say young because you are fresh human. You're only almost 9 years old, which is magical. You are an actor. You're an artist. You're a builder. Yeah. So I've had the pleasure of seeing you in a couple shows. Matilda blew my socks off over at Portland Playhouse. That was a really fun production. And you are right now practicing or preparing for
Christmas Carol.
The Christmas Carol at the Portland Playhouse. If listeners, you haven't checked out the productions at the Portland Playhouse, we highly recommend that you go see them and you will get the opportunity to see James on the big stage, who is absolutely delightful. You do have a lot of really great stage presence. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. And you often help your talented, beautiful mom, Latoya Lovely, with art. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was acting, my mom got this job for acting job, and she never acted, and she wanted to do it because she saw me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got inspired to do it.
That's amazing. You out here, not even all the way nine years old, almost nine, inspiring adults. Yeah. What else do you like to do?
I like to just go roam around my house and, like, do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, sleep. I like to do that. And today, I'm teaching my mom, and I'm the teacher today.
So cool. What are you teaching mom?
I'm teaching my mom multiplication, like, 8 times 8.
What's 8 times 8?
64.
Look at you. Look at you, little mathematician in the making. Yeah, you're going to solve a lot of problems, huh? You're going to definitely be a helper in solving the problems for us. I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
I'm honored to know you because you are just a really wonderful, bright light and a sweet person. Yeah, and you are very talented. I'm excited to talk to you about sharing today and just get some of your wisdom, your thoughtfulness as our future. I know I'm like putting a lot on you, but you're definitely a kid that rises to the occasion. So I'm going to ask you, as we get our conversation started off, we're going to do these little rapid fire questions. So just whatever comes to mind will get us warmed up. When I say the word sharing, what is the first thought that comes to mind?
The first thought that comes to mind is like when somebody wants to play with you. Like I have like a certain toy that a lot of people at my after school care like. Mm-hmm. And most of my friends have them, and they're called Beyblades.
Oh.
Yeah, and like they're sometimes they're like people are attracted to come and just want to see and play, and I let them use my Beyblades and they learn really quickly. Mm-hmm. And like it's fun to play with new people.
Oh, so for you, new people, like connection comes up. Oh, I love that. I think that's a really, like, that's a strong, we hear that a lot, that when people sharing and it's like, oh, This is how I connect. This is a way that I can connect. Yeah. Just a sidestep, sharing. Well, we can come back to this. Okay. What's your favorite memory around sharing?
When I went to my friend Sam's house, and he has these really strong bays, and he let me use them, and he actually let me keep one for forever. And I think, I don't remember which one it was, but I know it was a strong one.
That's cool. That sounds like a good friend that you have. Generous friend. Having generous friends is good. And being a generous friend is a way to be. I'm glad that you have a good friend that likes to share with you. What do you think needs to happen to change our collective relationship with sharing? So like our loud, larger relationship, just people to people.
I think how to change that is to encourage people to, like, to encourage people to, like, get used to it and, like, start doing it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, once you start doing it, people will want to come to you and ask you to do the to play with the things that you have. And, like, if you get used to that, you'll be able to have a straight answer. Mm-hmm. And people will probably sometimes be sad and frustrated, but they're probably going to do it, like, soon and later on.
Yeah. So it's like a practice. And if you do it, and also people learn by example. So if I'm sharing and people see that, then they are going to be inspired to share. And if I practice it, I'm going to get better at it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we all need to practice it more, don't we?
Yeah.
Do you think that you've always been good at sharing?
Not always, but once, like, I have to still practice it because some people, like, they have to, like, think about it again because they're like, I haven't done this in a long time, so, and I have new things, so should I yes or should I no?
Do you think that we can share beyond just things?
Yes.
Yeah. Like our ideas and our time.
And our feelings.
Our feelings. Yeah. Ooh. Tell me about that.
Because some people are scared to tell their feelings. And like, it's sad because if people don't know their feelings, they won't be able to help them.
Yeah, it's hard though, like the vulnerability of sharing your feelings is hard for a lot of us, just as people. Thinking about your friends, do you think that your friends, like in general, as younger people, like is sharing something that just kind of comes naturally to you all?
Yes.
Yeah, like you came here knowing how to share?
Not all the way knowing how to share, but like starting from a newborn baby, I think yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting how some things that are innate for us, like that are just really normal when we're small, that like we unlearn those as we get older, those practices or those habits, and then we have to relearn them. Yeah. What are some of the things that you notice that in terms of just the world that people are struggling with when it's sharing? Is it just the...
Well, the thing that people will probably struggle with most is like sharing their most valuable thing.
Oh. So like money... Precious stones, stocks and bonds, property.
Like sharing the property as in like my mom was thinking that she could turn like a part of our house into a little hotel so people can come and stay. But some people might have other things like infections and stuff that we don't want. So, like, it's my mom, it's just hard to think about that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. Like, bringing up that, like, what are some of the boundaries of sharing and what, like, does make sense? Like, it might not be the most practical plan to, like, always just have new people in and out of the house. That could be really disruptive to just, like, also having a kid. But it brings up, like, to your point, like, a really great, like, how are we thinking about sharing what we do have, what's possible? Yeah. I think that's, like, I think when I think about some of the conversations I have with adults and other people in general about sharing, it's, like, figuring out what is that line, what makes the most sense, what is possible. But yeah, there is a balance of what makes sense, but we do have to kind of stretch ourselves, even just to entertain the ideas of what could be. Yeah. You share your talent regularly as an actor, and you've been also, you've done some modeling work, so you're sharing your face. What is that experience like for you?
Well, it's fun because I get to move around, like, exercise while I'm doing it. And being able to see people having, like, smiling and, like, crying in joy.
Oh, yeah. So you're getting to share energy. And then you're also helping people really tap into some of those vulnerable emotions. Yeah, that's really profound that you know and see that. It's such a fresh age. I think I like that better, fresh versus young. It's a pretty wise person at almost 9. I've always admired that about you, that you're a very wise person, even though you haven't, you know, you're fresh here on Earth.
Thanks.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you've learned that people within that acting experience have shared with you?
I think it's the choreography, like, the beauty in, like, how people can dance and how they teach us, because they're teaching and giving their talent to us so we can learn from them.
Yeah, so it's really like passing a tradition on. Yeah, I like thinking about sharing as a tradition, and I like thinking about sharing like that, you know, that other people share with me and then I get to be a conduit of that and pass it on. We just saw Mr. Kent Ford, and you got to see him too, and he's somebody that has passed on the tradition of activism and speaking up and liberation movements with many of us. And so I really like thinking about sharing, you know, as part of it is tradition. It is our culture. It is something that we need to do more of. And I like that it intertwines with things like our art as activists, is if you're a teacher or you're a doctor, these are traditions, and we're sharing that knowledge. Yeah. What are some things that you hope to share just as you are growing as a human here?
Like I said a little bit ago, like, sharing my acting and, like, once I will probably become a teacher, I will teach so many things, because most of the times in my school, my second grade teacher did not share all the things that happened in history and in Black history and all history. Like the hard times that was happening with everybody, and she wanted to teach the good things that the white people and black people did, but not the bad things that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that there's the part about sharing that isn't always so warm and fuzzy. Or like when we're not sharing stuff. So to your point, we're not sharing information and history appropriately. One of my degrees is in African American history, and I always get really frustrated both the lacking of like just general information that people have regarding our history, and also the way we engage with this, because understanding our history is so important. We don't understand where we came from and the whys, it's hard to really understand where we're going. Yeah. And I think it's also, you're making this even, just these connections even deeper. We have to share like our knowledge and our history. Like sharing is so much more than just me sharing a cup of coffee with you or me sharing, you know, something physical, an item or a toy, even though that's very nice. But it's so much more. But also I think that if we, to your point earlier, if we have the skills to talk about it, right? Like maybe not necessarily that person, but with other people in our community, that helps us navigate these experiences. So it's really important that we like practice these things. And yeah. Yeah. So you have a passport. Are you going to go somewhere cool?
I think I'm going to go to Kentucky.
That's a different place. You don't need your passport for Kentucky, though.
Oh, wait. Oh, it's in the country?
Yeah, that's... It does kind of feel like a different place. My parents are from Southern Ohio, which is right on the border there. And it's a very different place. It's not really the South, and it's not really the Midwest. It's like the top of the Appalachians, which is a mountain range. It's a really beautiful kind of like rolling green forest situation. It low-key doesn't look real if you ever, when you're older and you're, if you ever get the opportunity to drive through it. But so Kentucky and Southern Ohio is kind of, and West Virginia is at like a very top of that mountain range. Like we live on the Cascade Mountain Range. So our mountain range is a little like higher in elevation. So you can go up higher, but that mountain range is really beautiful. But yeah, it's very different cultural experience over there than here. So it kind of does feel like a different country. But you want, what about like to a different place? Is there anywhere that you want to travel and see?
To Europe and Italy.
Oh, you can get some pasta?
Yeah, and some pizza.
Ooh, the pizza. Okay.
Because one of my friends that I made, like, mm-hmm. at my mom's friend's birthday, mm-hmm. their friend is in Italy right now, mm-hmm. and he's going to go soon, and, like, he's excited about the pizza.
Sounds delicious. Sounds delicious. I have not been to Europe, but I will say that when I went to Egypt, the food there was absolutely delicious. So good. Everything was so good. And when I went to Mexico, the last time I went to Mexico, the food was there. So good. Very fresh. I think that's something that like we here in America sometimes are in denial. The food in other places is so much better.
Because yeah. like there, as you said, like it might be from farmers, straight from farmers, and not like packaged up and then put into the store packaged up, because like that's what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And like we need to keep our fruit and food more fresh so it's better for our human beings.
Yeah, local, eat local. How did you get so wise that you just know innately we should be eating local? We get a shrug and an adorable face.
I have no idea.
Well, it's very exciting for us to know that we have wise, fresh people who are going to be thinking about solutions and being logical and practical and who are already practicing their relationship with sharing. And you already see where sharing intersects in everything that we do. I know that you're going to continue with your artistry and acting and sharing that gift and joy with the world. Are there any solutions or problems that you want to work on as you, and I know that's a really big question because you still have quite a many of years before you're going to be trying to do big kind of projects in that way. But is there anything in this moment that you're like, that's interesting to me?
I guess that would be, like, I'm going to work on this, like, once I get older, but, like, right now I'm trying. I feel like I should be trying to help racism get smaller.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas? That is a very important thing to work on, and I personally admire and appreciate that that's a problem that you would like to assist in working on. And I say assist because we all have to do this work collaboratively. It's not fair for one person to try to say, I'm going to solve this by myself. That's just too much pressure. But do you have any ideas in terms of ways, just maybe those of us that might getting started for you or start moving these things? What are things that we should be doing or thinking about in helping dismantle racism?
Like making more friends between both black and white people. So once they have more friends between both of us, like it won't have much of that racism because they will be friends, not enemies, and not against each other.
Yeah. So we're going to start building relationships across the color line, huh?
Yeah.
And genuine one. Because when you say friends, that means somebody that you can count on. That means somebody that you feel comfortable and safe with, that you're willing to be a little bit vulnerable with. So we really have to, like, build those connections intentionally. Yeah. Well, y'all, we have some work to do. We got to, like, be better at coming across the street and making friends. You know, Mama Donna Maxey, who is the founder of Race Talks, she always talks about befriending our neighbors and making sure that you know a few of your neighbors, like actually know them by name, maybe know a few things about them. Not like you got to grill them and like that's a little creepy, but like to get to know people and to, you know, start to care about them and vice versa. Because if anything, you know, anything wild is happening, even just a snowstorm, your neighbors are your closest people. So like that's the one little way that I know that we can start being more intentional to build relationships. Do you have any other ideas how we can build relationships?
Like just going around helping people, like just people around this world, helping the homeless people, helping the people that don't have much money and need like help and just helping people.
Helping people. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the work that we do at EGC is really about helping our community and helping each other and working together collaboratively. And I hear you. We need to like continue to really build on this skill set and the tradition of community. Yeah. What else? What else do you know that was us grown-ups should be thinking about? Because we are building your world. We're working on sustaining, or sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but we're doing the things which will be, you're going to be a leader, a grown-up leader. You're a youth leader, but you're going to be a grown-up leader at some point. What are things that we can do to or be thinking about?
I think what the grown-ups should be thinking about is, like, their actions.
Ooh. Okay, keep going.
Like, thinking about their actions, like, before they do it, thinking about what they're doing. Because, like, kids are trying to do that so they don't hurt their friends and lose friends. Mm-hmm. And, like, for grown-ups, they should think about that because they could hurt their own children.
Yeah, facts. I do think that you really bring up something that when we're young, when we're, you know, growing and learning about the world, we tend to be a lot more thoughtful about our actions and what we're doing and how it affects our friends, how it affects our parents, maybe our siblings or our cousins, just because of the dynamic. And then as you're grown-ups, we sort of really lean into this individualistic experience. But I think you're right that we have to be really thoughtful about how are we supporting the collective, how are we supporting those behind us, how are we taking care of each other, and really, like, look at people human to human. And not as strangers, but, like, that's my neighbor. That's a friend that I don't have yet. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so fascinated about the solutions that you will work on. So you're going to educate. So you maybe will, I think no matter what you do, you're going to be an educator. You're already educating us now. And we're just at the eve of your 9th birthday and you're educating us. So we will definitely see a lot of powerful just knowledge sharing and inspiration coming from you. I can already feel it. What are other things that we should be thinking about?
I don't really know that yet, but...
Okay. Yeah. But building those connections. Yeah. I know you're definitely deeply embedded in community with your mom. She's just an incredible artist. Shout out to Miss Latoya Lovely. She is very talented, beautiful artwork. And you've helped with many murals. And I know you've been a supporter at her shows and stuff. So it's cool to witness y'all educating people through the arts and sharing your talent and inspiring us. So I'm sure we'll see more of that. Yeah. Are you working on anything exciting with your mom?
Not right yet, but... We're just getting ready for my birthday.
That makes sense. What are you going to do for your birthday?
Well, my baby cousin's going to come over.
Ooh.
I'm going to get... So, I have allergies, but, like, I might get a cake. One of those big vegan cakes.
Ooh.
I had them for my... I feel like it was my... 6th or 5th birthday.
Okay. Yum. Is there a particular flavor of cake that you're excited about?
I love vanilla.
Yum. All right. Yep. Any kind of special decorations?
It's going to have a 9 on it. One of those 9 candles.
Oh, okay. Very exciting. So y'all are going to have a celebration. Very cool. You're going to do anything fun outside of getting to hang out with your cousin and family and cake?
Probably going to go to Oaks Amusement. Well, actually, I don't know if we're going to go to Oaks Amusement Park, but my mom was like, we might be able to go to Florida.
Oh, you have family in Florida.
Very lots.
Cool. Yeah. It's still kind of warm down there right now, yeah? I always like to go to the south when it's cold up here because it's not so cold down there.
Like in winter?
Yeah.
My mom said we were going to go down there for the fall, but it's actually hot in the fall. And like this year, because normally it's cold.
Yeah. I love it though. I love the heat. I always struggle up here with the lack of heat. Yeah. All right. So I'm just going to ask you like 2 more questions. What is something that that we all can do to, besides just like talking to people, but are there ways that we can deepen our sharing practice or the tradition of sharing? I like that kind of framework of thinking about sharing as like, this is a human tradition. This is the tradition of humanity, is sharing information. Is there anything that we can be actively doing to like strengthen this practice?
Like I said, practicing it more, but like practicing it even more than just like this day and then next week, the same day, mm-hmm. as in like every week through the whole entire month. Like you can cool down from it, but like doing it more.
Okay, so we really got to get into it as like a deep, deep practice. Like in the same way that people like plan to go to a yoga class. Shout out to Yin Yoga where we're at recording our podcast today. If you haven't been to Yin Yoga, you should come down and take a class. It is a lovely place. Rachel, the owner, is absolutely delightful. But we really want to like lean into sharing like a practice like yoga, or if you run or like your mom's art practice. I know she like carves out specific time to paint, even if she's like, I don't want to. But she does. She makes time for it. So it's like we really have to think about sharing as something that's like it's an active thing that we do. Yeah. I like to sometimes think about sharing and like I journal about it and I think about where I'm not being generous and where I am being generous. And sometimes I'm not generous with myself. But really, like, it is a practice. I really appreciate that you like are grown-ups. This is the practice that we have to practice. Yeah. Do you have advice for us as we forge forward as humans? What are your thoughts? What are your... And it's okay if you don't.
If I come next time, I mm-hmm. might have some. But right now, I don't.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, I think you've left us with great wisdom that we need to be sharing, that we need to like really engage with the practice, and that like I really appreciate your framework that this is a tradition. You know, this is part of our humanity, right? Like we have to take care of each other, we have to share information, we have to talk to each other, we have to build those connections. Before we started today, I had mentioned that I brought this book, Cactus Soup. Last season, I read Bone Soup. I'm not going to read Cactus Soup in this moment. Maybe we'll insert a recording of it or maybe not. But I just wanted to touch base because you're familiar with the Cactus Soup, Stone Soup, Quill Soup, Borscht Soup.
Well, I'm I did. I know Borscht Soup, mm. Button Soup, yeah. Cactus Soup. But I don't know quill soup.
So this is one of the, this story about community coming together and feeding people. It's the same story. It's a world story. So you find it all over the world. So in Africa, it's called quill soup. In Latin America, it's called cactus soup. In Eastern Europe, it's button or borscht soup. In Asia, it's stone soup is where stone soup comes from. So it's a story from all over. And in the Bible, it's the fish and loaves story where the prophet says, hey, I have, you know, these like five fish or whatever and this loaf of bread. And then it's this crowd of like thousands of people. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts pulling out like, I have a little bit of this, I have a little bit of that. Sort of in the same way of the soup story, right? Where they put the pot in the middle of the town and they say, oh, I'm going to make quill soup or button soup or stone soup. And then, oh, it would be great if we had a little bit of salt and pepper. It'd be great if we had a little onion and a little bit of carrots and a little, what else would you put in the soup?
I would put probably some bacon.
Bacon. Okay.
And maybe mix in a little bit of olive oil to make it a little bit more liquidy.
Savory. All right. So you're really thinking about depth of flavor. We might have to make some stone soup sometime. I think that would be really fun. Would you be into planning that with me?
Yeah.
All right. Let's we're going to plan a stone soup event. We can invite people. We got to find one of our favorite chefs. Portland has a lot of really yummy chefs. So we'll have to talk about who we want to get involved. So all of you listeners, stay tuned for AJ and James's stone soup. We're gonna have a fun event. Well, I really appreciate you coming and talking to us about sharing. I'm excited that we have a new project together. And I want to just plug where people can find you to see you act. Portland Playhouse, Christmas Carol's coming up. You're phenomenal on stage. So definitely if you want to see a lot of joy and talent, go see James. And hopefully we'll see you doing some more projects with your mom. I know you were doing stuff at the IFCC with her. You guys just had a residency over there. So there are definitely other opportunities for us all to kind of just pay attention to this brilliant, fresh talent that is almost 9 years old. What a blessing for us all to get to be around you for 9 years. Yeah. I appreciate that your mom shares you with community, that we get to know you and see you grow, and that you get to share your talents with us. And EGC, just in general, we appreciate you being in community with us.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for inspiring us. Yep. And all of us grownups, as we listen, let's deepen our sharing practice from the mouth of babes, right? From a fresh human, almost 9 years old, telling us we need to deepen our sharing tradition. Thank you so much for chatting with us today, James.
You're welcome.
You're the best.
See you next time I come. Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, we're going to have to follow up because we're going to make some stone soup. So all of y'all stay tuned and look out for that invite. We're gonna make some soup together. You know what? In the Caribbean, it's called community soup. So like Gullah Gullah Island, we're going to have a whole conversation about soup. But in Gullah Gullah Island, which is off of like the southeast coast, that's another place. So it's everywhere. Yeah, we're going to have some Portland soup. Yeah, some Sharon soup. All right. Thanks for listening and thanks for chatting with us today, James.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Sharing Culture with Equitable Giving Circle. We appreciate you being on this journey with us. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. If you loved what you heard, please tap in and find us on socials under Equitable Giving Circle or find us at our website, www.equitablegivingcircle.org. To donate, volunteer, or learn more about our programming. We look forward to working with you all to build a stronger and more connected and resourced Portland community. We have a robust menu of programming at Equitable Giving Circle, and it all interconnects and nestles beautifully together. We try to be mindful of the other community programming that is available in town, and so that our supports do not duplicate, but are a complement to the larger work happening in our community. We are most known for our CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Program, which has two components. Our home delivery, where we deliver to 225 households, and we've been doing that since June of 2020. We also have a free market that happens every single Thursday in Northeast Portland, and we serve about 180 families at that market each week. We've been doing our free market since July of 2020. Market has grown, so there's also now health screenings that we do with OHSU, food demos, other orgs tabling, and our plant jam and community wellness programming does pop-ups regularly at market. In addition to our food programming, we've got a community wellness branch, and that is a ton of programming. From our community event series, which include Earth Day, Mother's Day, Juneteenth, Back to School, and Holiday Extravaganza. We also have other small events that pop up for different reasons throughout the year. We have our Black Elder Care Package initiative that happens every February for Black History Month. This year, we're distributing 150 care packages to Black elders across the city. We have our Healthy Families, Healthy Birth program. This is our first full year of this programming, and it's a prenatal and beyond service. We are supporting 31 families who are either currently pregnant or just had a new baby, and we're supporting these families with both food items and practical baby items. In this program, we also have our Ujima Baby Boutique, which happens almost every other month now, and this is a space where we are distributing baby items, diapers, wipes, all that fun stuff, practical things for the families that we're serving in our prenatal and beyond program. We also have our Plant Jam program, which is very popular around town. We have collected and passed out literally over 35,000 plants to date over the last 5 years, and it has been a beautiful practice in sharing because plants and the plant community really lean into sharing. Through that programming, we've also piloted our Black Elder Garden Project, and this year we're serving 3 Black Elders. One of those gardens is 29 years old, the other is 23, and the third one is a 70-year-old garden. These are all living history spaces, and we're excited to work with our Black Elders on this. We also have a 2 times a month walking group, a 1 a month blood pressure group, and this podcast. These are all active programming that we have at EGC. We do have a housing program that is currently on hold, and we're looking for dollars. So if you have dollars, send them our way. If you have a building in Inner Northeast Portland, we'd also love to chat with you because we are currently looking for a permanent home of our own to house all of this beautiful programming.